Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We are just shy of 6 weeks out until the general election, and you cannot turn on your TV in central Ohio or probably anywhere in the state of Ohio or even answer your phone without being reminded that the Buckeye State is a fierce battleground state.
Fewer Americans are working today than when President Obama took office. It doesn't have to be this way. If Obama would stand up to China.
Mitt Romney paid just 14.1% in taxes last year. He keeps millions in Bermuda and the Cayman Islands. He won't release his tax returns before 2010.
So the latest poll numbers find the president has the largest lead yet. The Quinnipiac University poll shows President Obama ahead of Mitt Romney in Ohio, 53-43%. The poll also found that the president significantly is ahead in other swing states such as Florida and Pennsylvania. And an Ohio newspaper organization poll released on Sunday shows him Barack Obama up by about 5 points, 51-46. So all in all, not a bad week for Barack Obama. Joining us in the studio today is Daryl Rowland, public affairs editor at the Columbus Dispatch. Welcome to the show, Daryl.
Good morning, Ann. Good to be here.
And former Akron Beacon Journal, Dayton Daily News, Washington reporter, and also State House reporter Bill Hershey. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Good morning. Good to be here. Thank you.
You know, we're going to be talking about polls today, and we haven't done a lot of poll talking yet. So for our listeners, I want to know, do you pay attention to poll numbers, and do they affect how you vote at all? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Maybe they affect how people give to the campaigns. I know that's the case at certain points. I don't know if it's the case at this point, however. So, Daryl, let's first start with your poll and then move on to the Quinnipiac poll. But the recent Dispatch Ohio Newspaper Organization poll from September 13th to the 19th found President Obama held a 51-46% lead over Governor Romney. What are the numbers behind the numbers? Where are the shaky spots? Where are the strong points?
And the Ohio Newspaper Organization, which again is the eight largest newspapers in Ohio, which of course includes the Dispatch, we hooked up with the University of Cincinnati, the same folks that conduct the Ohio poll. Some people may be more familiar with that than the Ohio Newspaper Organization poll. But it's the same folks, same methodology, just to say that first. That breakdown, it's a pretty traditional Democratic-Republican breakdown in the poll. People are just buying President Obama's message more than they are Governor Romney's. They are in favor, for instance, of the auto rescue package or the auto bailout, if you will, things of that nature. And despite the somewhat dismal economic news, a little better in Ohio, of course, than nationally, you know, we have the majority going before for President Obama.
I was surprised. The poll included a question about the auto bailout. And you wrote that although it won approval by a solid, wait a minute, I mean, it was split. You said that the poll splits four ways. Oh, that's on the health care law. On the auto bailout, it won approval by a solid 58%. But you wrote that it doesn't reap rewards necessarily for the president. What's the distinction there?
That's an odd dichotomy, Ann, and that's why I remarked on that in our Sunday story in the Dispatch. Sure, Ohioans, and it's not just northern Ohio where the auto manufacturing is the most heavy. It's statewide, at least a plurality, supports that auto rescue package. However, when you ask if that's more likely to, you know, provide your vote to Barack Obama, it's almost dead even. He really doesn't reap any political gain, even though people like his policy there. So that's kind of an odd finding.
And Bill Hershey, the numbers are better than ever when it comes to unemployment in Ohio. They're down again. It's in the 6% range now. People didn't know that a week and a half ago when the polls were done. So what kind of impact do you think that might have going forward? Would it have been a better, or do you think about the same?
I think any drop in the unemployment rate benefits the incumbent as it benefits Governor Kasich, who's going to be on the ballot. I think statewide the unemployment rate has stayed about the same, but here in central Ohio and in counties, the local unemployment rate did go down measurably in this last, and there's sort of a feeling people have sometimes, I think, and I don't know how you measure that in a poll, but some of the data in the poll, at least the Quinnipiac poll, seems to back that feeling up Governor Romney has made an effort to say he would handle the economy better. He would create millions of jobs. Yet, for the most part, people prefer President Obama as someone to handle the economy. There was a Saturday Night Live spoof on this a while back. President Obama or his impersonator was saying the economy's in the tank. I don't know if it's in the tank, but it's still not good. I mean, these rates that you said, although they're an improvement, they're not good. And nationally, the unemployment rate is 8%. And people feel that sometimes almost as much as they feel their local rates.
But the swing state is Ohio, the important, you know, the battleground state is Ohio. Things are doing pretty good here. And I thought it was interesting in the Quinnipiac poll that the respondents credit apparently both the president and the governor.
Yeah, it splashes both ways. And again, I guess the sun either shines or sets on the incumbent, depending on what the economy does. Perhaps, you know, perhaps it's like the old head coach argument. They get too much credit and too much blame. Who knows? But I think if you look at polls nationwide, and you're seeing, for whatever reason, an increased optimism about the economy. And it's especially true in Democrats. I don't know if this is Bill Clinton's convention speech convinced a lot of people, but certainly Obama got that convention bounce, if you will. A little bit of that went away, but kind of the more optimistic feeling about the future of our economy is there.
Now, just to remind you, you're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. My guests are Daryl Rowland of the Columbus Dispatch and longtime Washington and State House reporter Bill Hershey, now writing. Bill, I just lost my train of thought there. So 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org if you have a question or comment. You can fill in for me. I know it's the Democrats. The poll indicates that Democrats, the Ohio Newspaper Organization poll, I think, indicates that Democrats are slightly more likely to vote than Republicans.
Yes.
So what does that reflect? Why is that this time?
Well, in contrast to what you saw several months ago, where Republicans were clearly more enthusiastic about this year's election, I think that has also turned around. And again, I think if you go to the convention and the ensuing weeks, I think that's turned around in a big way. Now, there's a lot of controversy over these figures because people think pollsters go out and pick who they're going to sample, Democrat, Republican. No, it's you sample the population randomly, make sure you get a good mix. And however it shakes out with Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Constitution, Libertarian, what have you, is how it shakes out. How it shakes out in almost every poll is a solid Democratic margin. Again, we had it at 6 points, the Ohio Newspaper Association. Quinnipiac has always been high. I think they were +9 today. So you don't want to balance the parties because you don't know if that's going to be the actual truth on Election Day. You just, if you have a good random sample, you're doing it scientifically, you know, those chips will fall where they may in terms of party identification, Ann.
Well, hopefully we'll talk to Peter Brown later on in the show about more in more detail about the Quinnipiac poll and their sampling. But in general, Bill, there is criticism often that Republicans don't get the same numbers. They don't get the same number of respondents. They're not getting the proportional respondents that they should be.
That's what the person or the party who's behind in the poll often says, though. I know the people who do two of these three polls were released recently, University of Cincinnati, Quinnipiac, and they do just what Daryl said. They look at the universe of voters and try to pick a random sample of likely voters from it. They don't try to get a specific number of Democrats and or Republicans. I wanted to ask Daryl something about a question you said about the enthusiasm gap, and help me out here. Wasn't it House Speaker Boehner who said 2 or 3 months ago that people aren't going to come out to vote because they are in love with Governor Romney, they don't like President Obama? It was something like that, and there has never been an overwhelming amount of enthusiasm for Governor Romney as a candidate. If you think back to the primaries, we had this sequence of primaries of, well, somebody other than Romney, and they finally ended up with him. And I think that this is not Ronald Reagan or Bill Clinton at the top of the Republican ticket. And I think there is an enthusiasm gap. Maybe, is that measurable, Daryl?
To add on to that, someone said something like, it isn't Mitt Romney's to win, it's Barack Obama's to lose.
Right. Now, to some extent, of course, that judgment is always made on the incumbent. Certainly in the 2004 election, a lot of the John Kerry vote was more against Bush than it was for Kerry, because a lot of Democrats were not necessarily enthused about Senator Kerry. But I think that's what you're seeing now as well. In fact, Quinnipiac asked that a related question about that. How enthused are you about your candidate, or how is it more, are you supporting your candidate or opposing the opponent? And far and away, Obama supporters were more enthusiastic for their guy than Romney supporters were for their guy. Now, again, part of that's the nature of incumbent versus anti-incumbent. But Romney was just, I think, like 57%. Now, that's just if his supporters say they're wild for him. So that's kind of a danger sign. And I think Bill's right. It's what we saw in the primary where, yeah, he won a lot of narrow races. I know Bill's old stomping grounds in Michigan, here in Ohio, because he had huge spending advantages over Rick Santorum or whomever, and managed to prevail. Well, he's got an advantage, but not that huge spending advantage now. Maybe that's what we're seeing.
And when you see that kind of relative lack of enthusiasm for the people, among the people who say they definitely will vote for him, then it's really time to get out the vote.
Right. And that's, we talk about this difference between in the electorate, as shown by the polls, as more Democrats and Republicans. A superb turnout effort, again, like the Republicans did in 2004, aided by the gay marriage issue on the ballot, they got tremendous turnout of their people. So it's going to take something like that. And again, anyone's out there thinking this race is over, that's, of course, foolish. We are still one day shy of 6 weeks out. We have three presidential debates, one vice presidential debate. We live in a crazy world where almost anything could happen. So it's just really uphill for Governor Romney, but lots of things could happen in the next 5+ weeks.
And I was taken, at least in the Quinnipiac poll, on the issues besides the economy, issues that I thought President Obama was having trouble with. There's much ballyhooing about how much people dislike Obamacare, yet the poll showed that the president would do better on health care, 54% to 40%, and we're living in a dangerous world. International crisis, wars can turn an election. The economy always comes first, yet they still trust President Obama more than Governor Romney here. Maybe there hasn't been enough time for people to worry about the international crisis, but there could be something happen that would work in Governor Romney's favor, even though I don't think he'd wish for some catastrophe.
Right.
I want to get back to that when we return. We're going to continue our conversation about the polling, about the numbers and what affects them. Give us a call. Interested to know if our listeners care about the polls or if it's something that matters. Does it affect whether you give more to your candidate or less? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, stuck in America, upward mobility, the American dream, is at an all-time low. We'll look at what's happened to the ladder. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
On Point this afternoon at 1 on 89.7 NPR News. 64 degrees with cloudy skies, showers and thunderstorms likely today, a high of 74. There's a chance of rain tonight as well, maybe a thunderstorm, a low of 55. Clouds with still a slight chance of rain on Thursday and a high near 70. Support for 89.7 comes from Montgomery & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Information about how Montgomery & Associates can help you achieve your financial goals can be found online at their website, themontgomerysolution.com. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
We, once again, are just shy of 6 weeks out until the general election, and you all know that because that's all you see and hear on the television. You read about it in the newspapers. You read it online. The latest poll numbers find that the president has the largest lead yet now. The Quinnipiac University poll shows President Obama ahead of Romney in Ohio, 53-43%. The poll also found the president significantly ahead in other swing states like Florida, 53-44%, and Pennsylvania, 54-42%. What do you think about that? We're talking with Daryl Rowland of the Columbus Dispatch and longtime political writer and reporter Bill Hershey. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org or go to the Facebook page and post your question or comment there. I wanted to quickly follow up on, we were starting to get into the foreign affairs issue, and talk about that, because there's this one school of thought that thinks that when there's unrest around the world, like there has been very recently, a kind of a new flare-up, that's hard on the incumbent, and it reflects poorly on the incumbent. But from what I saw from the Quinnipiac poll numbers, I think it looks like people feel safer with the president in the hot seat.
Right, and the Quinnipiac surveyed a number of traits that people want in their leader, and also asked about foreign policy, domestic policy, what have you. Obama led in everything except on fixing the deficit, and that includes the foreign policy. And as Bill and I were talking during the break, a lot of observers think that Romney may have stepped in with that very rapid partisan criticism when things were still kind of developing in Libya. And, of course, as it turned out, our ambassador and others were killed over there. They seem to be, almost politically exploiting that. And even now, he is taking a piece of Obama's talk the other day and making it sound like he's just referring to those deaths as a quote bumps in the road. I don't know if people are really thinking that's a fair assessment.
Politics used to stop at the water's edge. It doesn't anymore. But Governor Romney is a very sophisticated person. I mean, look at his life history. And I think that's why some people have been surprised with the way the insensitivity he showed after the ambassador's death. And let's not forget his comments in England during the Olympics that, well, maybe they could have done the things better. He hasn't shown a sensitivity. President Obama said that Governor Romney shoots first and aims later. I that was a cliche, but that case could be made.
Lydia in Mansfield, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Lydia.
Hello. I guess I was listening to Obama at the UN, and I just tuned in, and he made some statement that this supposed 47% does not care about what's going on over there. We care more about the economy, and we pay more attention to what's going on with the economy, and we care about that. That's our kids that are over there. I'm 70 years old, and my son was in Beirut years ago. He was in the Marines because he couldn't get a job. Mm-hmm. A lot of our young people have joined the service because they can't get a job, and they're the ones that are dying over there.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, what about that? What do people care? We keep saying the economy. That's been going on since 1992, though. I think it's the economy, stupid, right? But
we want jobs. But when our daughters and sons are joining the service because you can't get a job, and you wind up, some of them, they join the National Guard. Because
right.
They
join the service one way or the other. But Daryl, what about that?
Well, of course, the now infamous 47% remark came from Governor Romney in that surreptitiously recorded fundraiser down in Boca Raton, I believe it was, down in Florida, $50,000 a plate. And I think clearly that's part of what's hurting him in these polls. Again, you look at Quinnipiac's today, they ask, do you think President Obama, do you think Governor Romney's policy, once they're in office, will favor the rich or middle class or whatever? And overwhelmingly, it is Romney favoring the rich, where it's more spread out for President Obama. So, and in terms of foreign policy, as Bill says, it's kind of a surprise where Governor Romney's been a little bit you know, not as adept as some of us might have thought.
Well, he doesn't have the experience. I mean, and perhaps the only experience the president has is from the last 3.5 years, but...
Yeah, ironically, but, we're saying, yeah, what a great experience
on the other
the president
hand,
has.
His vice president has a significant amount of experience in foreign policy, and his cabinet certainly does. So...
Certainly.
Okay. Lydia, thanks for your call.
I listened to President Obama at the UN, and I don't remember him, when he talked to the General Assembly, talking about the 47% not caring about foreign policy. I thought his speech to the United Nations was more about defending American values, free speech, and so forth. But he may have said that at another presentation in New York.
Right. I don't remember it either. Ken in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering, when he picked Paul Ryan as vice president, it seemed like he started going down the polls as well. But Paul Ryan is a fiscal conservative and also a social conservative. It may have been better picking Portman or picking the, I think, the senator from Florida, who are more moderate as far as social issues go. And just wanted to get your opinion on that, as well as when he picked Paul Ryan, he took away the debate from the economy on the Medicare and other issues. So I was wondering about your feeling on that. That might have hurt him.
Ken, my thought would be, at least in terms of when the poll numbers turned around, I don't think it happened when Governor Romney picked Congressman Ryan. If you recall, that was 1 week, then the convention was the next week, and the polls were very close. I know our first dispatch poll, in fact, was tied in Ohio going into the conventions, but I think the numbers you have seen since is where the real attrition has taken place in terms of Governor Romney's support. So I don't know if you can put that all on Congressman Ryan or not. In fact, there are some Republican critics out there who say that Governor Romney is not turning to Congressman Ryan enough, that he's too much in the background, and he's not embracing those conservative policies enough.
That's an interesting observation. If I could just make a comment that relates to that. And our caller, one of your columnists in the Columbus Dispatch this week, your Washington reporter, Jack Torrey, asked the question, has the Republican Party moved away from voters? And I read Jack's column, and then I read a column by David Brooks, who's a highfalutin New York Times columnist, who said the same thing, a conservative. He said there's two strains to conservatism, fiscal conservatism and sort of a communitarian conservatism that we make sure that things are stable and people have a chance, and then we have this ruthless capitalism. And I this is a little bit philosophical, but I'm just wondering if that might be having an impact on these poll results. Do you think it is, Daryl?
Well, I think what gave power to Romney's 47% remark was that it confirmed a lot of people's suspicions. That preconceived notion was out there that, you know, Romney's just for the rich, what have you, the well-to-do, or, you know, as he likes to put it, the job creators. But I think underlying that, people were wondering. And so I think at least some people are making that judgment. Here he is in an unguarded moment with a bunch of fat cats around. The china and the silverware are all clinking. There are people being waited on and all that. And his true feelings are coming out that he does just favor the folks at the top end of the economic spectrum.
Ken, thanks for your call.
Yep.
Take care. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. If you have a question or comment, want to join the conversation on the polls, just had a few big ones come out, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Martin in Delaware, welcome to the show. That's a Republican stronghold up there in Delaware.
So it is. And one of the things that was interesting to me is I have been surrounded by Republican signs. Bush signs is really what I'm talking about the past two elections. And even Palin, whoever Palin met with. And there is not a single sign for Romney on my whole road. And in the last Bush election, my neighbor paid to erect a bulletin board. And there is not one single Romney sign. In fact, Obama signs outnumber Romney signs on my road 1-0. And
are you the one?
No, I'm not. Actually, I haven't even got my sign out yet. And the thing to me, I mean, I hear your thoughts about it, but the thing to me is Romney changed his views on almost everything so much. I can understand not trusting him. It is as if Gingrich became a flaming liberal and won the Democratic nomination. I wouldn't trust him. And I just have a feeling that plays a lot to people in terms of enthusiasm, regardless of what he says, not to mention all these other goofs that he made that you've been talking about.
Bill Hershey.
I'm curious what other people have observed in terms of signs and what you think of that idea.
So, I haven't seen a lot of signs yet, but Bill Hershey?
I haven't seen too many signs either, but I think you raise a point that maybe Daryl referred to earlier. In the Republican primaries, that was one of the problems that Governor Romney had. He did reverse his position on gay marriage, abortion, two or three other critical issues.
Well, health care.
Health care. Yep. Excuse me, the big one. Yeah, Romney care, I guess you could call it.
Right.
And Republicans were skeptical of his conversion. They settled on him because he looked like he was the best candidate. But I'm wondering, I'm thinking this might hurt the enthusiasm. And, of course, with Democrats, the positions he's changed is not going to help him, and certainly not with some independents and women voters. We didn't talk about that in the Quinnipiac poll. Maybe
that's been an ongoing
margin
of success for the president.
60-35% in Ohio, and that's pretty – that's a lot.
That's a lot. Is that across the board? Is that spread across the parties and independents?
You know, in recent years, Ann, there has been the gender gap. And I say recent years, I think my first polls was like Clinton Dole in 96. So there's been a gender gap, but they are really big. And you see it both in presidential race and in the U.S. Senate race this year. And again, we can go into a lot of the dynamics. You know, Congressman Aiken's remarks, response to that, the whole battle over reproductive rights, gay marriage, you name it. A lot goes into that mix. But I think these numbers show that a lot of female voters are not real happy with the Republicans who are running for president or the U.S. Senate in Ohio. Conversely, male voters, you know, a lot of them just like Mitt Romney just fine and Josh Mandel just fine over Sherrod Brown.
Martin, thanks for your...
I was wondering, what do you think of the tax thing where he said to keep from paying 9-point-something% taxes, he didn't take $2 million worth of deductions? How do you think that plays when he had that comment of, if I paid more taxes than I needed to, you wouldn't want me as president? I'm just curious about how you think that plays. Thanks again.
Okay, Martin, thank you. So he didn't take a couple of deductions. Mitt
right.
Romney did not take a couple of deductions that he could have. And
for his charitable contributions, which, you know, that was
nice.
Several million dollars, a very impressive total. His campaign, however, had already said what his rate, you know, wouldn't be lower than. So it's like he had to, like, lowball his, you know, his payments, if you will, to be consistent with that. And I don't know, more power to him. But it is kind of interesting that he – you know, could have just been paying in single digit in terms of percentages.
And there's probably a certain ilk of people out there that say, you didn't get all your deductions?
Yeah.
Good-hearted capitalist wouldn't be getting all their deductions? Who would pay more taxes than they had to? So 614-292-8513, if you want to make a call, you could email us, as did Matthew, on Facebook. I'm sorry, he wrote to us on Facebook. He goes, I understand the science behind standard deviations and statistics, but I still can't help but scratch my head at poll results. I mean, it's not like they asked me. Besides, aren't polls taken only from people who have landlines? It seems as though a significant portion of the population is not being represented in these polls. And this is a good question for you, Daryl, because I know the upcoming Dispatch poll is by mail. So tell us about the distinctions and what
right.
we're looking
well,
at here.
Right. You'll see results of the Dispatch poll here in coming days. And it's kind of a old school poll, very old school. Some people don't like this methodology, but it's been very accurate for us. We obviously catch both landlines and cell phones. It's just, you know, do people use snail mail is our bigger concern. But to back up to the main question is, virtually all these pollsters, national pollsters, do use cell phones now. I know the Ohio Newspaper Organization, again, using the folks at the Institute for Policy Research down at the University of Cincinnati, they use cell phones. You buy the list, you do the random dialing, what have you. Gallup uses them. And I think the only ones, again, this is to my knowledge, it could be out of date, but I think of the major ones, I think only Rasmussen just uses landlines,
which
and that's the automated digital dialing response, which
is
a lot of people.
Or
Public policy polling also uses that method. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they do cell phones or not, but they might just use landlines.
It's the automated, though.
Yeah, because you probably wouldn't be able to do that on a cell phone.
But Quinnipiac uses cell phones too, we should say.
Yes, that's the one out today.
Poll that just came out today.
Now, there's a whole other issue about how much people answer their phones anymore if they don't know who a caller is. I know I don't. So who knows what, you know, we're missing now because of other technological changes. From Terry on Facebook, Terry writes, if the president's lead gets too big, it scares me that his supporters will relax and let up. Polls and yard signs do not vote. And that's an interesting, you know, you don't want to get, you know, on a peak in the fourth grade kind of a thing. You don't want to do too well, too fast. Is there any credence to that?
You know, these things always cut two ways. And you do hear this. I mean, will this motivate Obama supporters to stay home because they think they've got it in the bag, or will it discourage Romney supporters from going out because they think that Obama's got it in the bag? Now, the important thing about being ahead in the polls now, and we should mention it's just not these polls. There's been a whole series of polls, Washington Post, Fox News, and they all show Obama with a significant lead in Ohio in recent days. The significance is that early voting starts in 6 days on October 2nd in Ohio. So these leads now, you can't say, on one hand, we have, well, almost 6 weeks till Election Day. Ohio, a lot of people say, has election month, if you will. So these leads will start to get locked in, at least to some extent, in less than a week. So that's a very important factor. And I tell you, both sides want to get their support in the bank, as they put it, especially the Obama people. They used this with great success in 2008. So by the time Election Day comes around, a significant portion of the voters could have already cast their ballot.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about polling, and we're going to go into get a little bit deeper into the Quinnipiac poll. It was released at about, early this morning, at least. If you have a question or comment, want to join the conversation, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm General Manager Tom Rylan. Congratulations to the WOSU News Team for being named the best radio news operation in Ohio and for winning recognition for outstanding investigative reporting.
Let's look at the numbers and see who's getting what. Let's look at what taxpayers are getting for their money.
Back in the overflow crowd, listen to the Senate proceedings on loudspeakers.
Hear more from our news team on 89.7 NPR News and at our award-winning website, WOSU.org.
Thanks for joining us today on 89.7 NPR News. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, Hour 2 of All Sides begins with a discussion of Mexico's drug society and drug cartels. Stay with us for that discussion from 11 till noon. 65 degrees in downtown Columbus. Rain likely today, maybe a thunderstorm, a high of 74. There's a chance of rain tonight, a low of 55 degrees. Clouds with still a slight chance of rain on Thursday and a high of 69. And then sunshine looking ahead to Friday with a high of 69. Support for 89.7 comes from United Way of Central Ohio. United Way is working to improve lives and strengthen our community by bringing together people and organizations to address local issues in education, income, health, and home. More information on how to get involved is at liveunitedcentralohio.org. And All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
My guest, Darryl Roland of the Columbus Dispatch, and also Bill Hershey, longtime political writer. We're talking about the polls. We just had a big one come out today, the Quinnipiac poll, the third poll in the past 4 days, reported by Darryl Roland, says shows Barack Obama, President Barack Obama, leading in Ohio. The today's survey has the largest margin yet, a 10-point bulge over Mitt Romney, as Darryl put it, in the Quinnipiac University CBS News New York Times swing state poll. So that was a swing state poll. That's pretty significant versus, say, a larger nationwide poll like the daily tracking poll by Rasmussen, which puts the president and Romney at 46% each.
Well, sure. Under our system of voting, we have an electoral college that adds up electoral votes from all the states. And the fact is there are only, you know, 8 or 10, at the absolute most, a dozen states that are truly in play at this point in the campaign. Quinnipiac University, and they've gotten sponsorship now from CBS and New York Times, tracks the results in 6 of those swing states. The ones out today were Florida, Pennsylvania, and Ohio. And frankly, the Republicans have pretty much given up on Pennsylvania, a traditional swing state, but there's no Romney money there, and there's hardly any national Republican money there. So we're down to, of the two today, Ohio and Florida. And those are the big two, certainly. There's almost no path to the presidency if Governor Romney were to lose both those, as the numbers would indicate today he is losing them, where the Republicans would win the White House.
I think that it was interesting in Florida, the margin was about the same as it was in Ohio, 9 percentage points. So this is not a fluke, or it doesn't look like it is anyway. In Pennsylvania, it was just 2 more, 12. But in all these polls in the swing states and in the 3 polls on Ohio, I think it's significant to remark that Obama is above 50%. That doesn't mean he's going to get 50%, but I think he was the only Democrat certainly to get more than 50% since when?
LBJ,
way back in 1964. So and there's not a third-party candidate like Ross Perot, at least that I know of this year.
Well, certainly not one of that significance. No. The Ohio ballot has 7 or 8 candidates, but, you know, they're not polling very well.
Judy in Pickerington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I just wanted to piggyback a bit on the Romney comment of the 47% and the reaction to that. I think that the perception is when many people think of people on federal assistance, they're thinking of the freeloaders, lazy people. And I'm afraid that what we fail to think about are the working poor. I don't hear a lot about them, and my understanding is they make up about a third of people on federal assistance. So I think that's part of the reason many of us realize, and we know people who are working 2 and 3 jobs, which also leads me into this extended voting hours situation and weekend voting. Why should it really matter to anybody that we extend voting hours unless you know that more Democratic votes will come out of those extended hours? I think we should make it as easy as possible. This comes up every election. We should make it as easy as possible for people to vote. But I just want to put out a plug there for the working poor in this country. They kind of, I think, are a little bit forgotten.
I think that's a good point. And one of the policies that the working poor benefit from is something called the Earned Income Tax Credit, which lowers or eliminates their federal income tax responsibility. And that has been championed not just by Democrats, but vocally and strongly by Republicans, because they see it as a benefit to have people working, taking welfare somehow. So I don't know if Governor Romney was trying to admonish the supporters of the Earned Income Tax Credit or not, but some people could have interpreted it that way.
And another big chunk of the people, Judy, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. A big chunk of the people among that 47%, of course, are retirees. Gene in Cleveland, you're on the air. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, it's a very good mystery to me why Romney and all the other Republicans with that money always kicking the man that's working for a living, because he get his Social Security when he retired. he's putting money in that. He's not getting nothing for nothing.
Right. Those are the payroll taxes that people are paying and have paid into their whole working life, right?
Right. And they criticize Medicare. People on Social Security, they take money out of your check every month for Medicare, even though you retire. But yet and still, Wall Street money was taken from the working man to bail them out. The CEOs get a big bonus, don't care if the company go bankrupt. And the banks and the credit cards, they never criticize them or never even talk about them. Why are they always kicking the man that's working for a living? Hmm.
Thanks, Gene, for that call. Well, that's part of what the perception is of what Mitt Romney was asserting in that perception.
Yeah, I think that's, again, I think that is certainly the impression that's getting through to a significant percentage of the electorate. I read a real interesting column, I want to say it was in Time magazine, but I'm not positive, talking about that secretly recorded video. And they didn't do Romney's remarks so much as put it in context of, you know, there are all these waiters and people catering it, and, you know, obviously someone to wash the dishes, to serve them, whatever. They're talking about all these people as if these folks who are almost certainly part of the 47%, are not in the room. I mean, does that person refilling their drink have health insurance, for instance, or are they getting their earned income tax credit? I mean, are they right there? I mean, if that impression is coming across to voters that, hey, I'm almost half the country's invisible, obviously, Governor Romney has strongly pushed back on that and says, you know, he cares about the 100% and, you know, we lift the people at the top, we sort of lift all boats, that thing. But I think clearly these numbers are showing it's causing political damage.
Beth in Clintonville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Beth.
Hi. I mean, the thing that bothers me the most about all these surveys is that, like, what was it, 2 or 3 days ago, my parents get a hysterical phone call from the DNC saying that Romney's ahead in the rural area and that they have to give more money to keep Obama up in the rural area. And then 2 days later, oh, no, Obama's, like, doing better across the state. And it's like, how can that possibly be? And I just don't get it, you know. So I'll just take my comment off the air.
Okay, Beth. Lots of mixed messages, right, Bill Hershey?
I think that that's a good point, but the reality is that these are two different types of calls that are being made. The Democrats and the Republicans are both shouting, the house is burning, the house is burning, please send water as quickly as possible. The Quinnipiac poll and the Ohio newspaper poll and the poll in the Washington Post are neutral. They're trying to find out what people are thinking, not trying to sound alarm bells to raise money. And it, for people who aren't in the newspaper business or the polling business, this is awfully confusing and frustrating, I think, too, as it was for the caller's parents when they got these two calls.
And frankly, again, you have to listen to how they're parsing things. If they literally said Obama's behind in rural areas, that probably remains true even in the Quinnipiac poll, where he's ahead statewide by 10%, just because of demographics.
Email from Charlie in Columbus. Charlie writes, I participated in the Quinnipiac poll that was released today. I had already made up my mind before the poll, and polls don't affect my vote one way or the other. I do think that polls are generally pretty accurate, but I am scared to think people would vote based on a poll. So what do votes, you know, I was going to ask you something about the leaners, too. The Rasmussen, one of the dailies out of the Rasmussen, referred to the leaners and that maybe the leaners aren't counted often enough. What do they mean by that? And does that play into that what a poll can do if you're a leaner?
Well, a lot of pollsters try to go beyond, you know, you're for X or you're for Y. Well, how strongly do you feel for candidate X or candidate Y? So, you know, Rasmussen does it one way with their robocalls. You know, other pollsters do it other ways. You know, Quinnipiac talks about how strongly do you feel. And I think the Ohio poll talks about, you know, have you made up your mind for sure? Things along that line. So, yeah, they do want to find out, okay, let's get beyond that initial wave. But all that is reflected in the polls that are released.
Well, the Quinnipiac poll does include leaners. This is how the question's worded. If the election for President Obama were being held today and the candidates were Barack Obama, the Democrat, and Mitt Romney, the Republican, for whom would you vote? And then if you're undecided, They ask further, as of today, do you lean more toward Obama or Romney? And the table includes the leaners. That's how we got the 53% to 43%. So,
okay. Jim in Westerville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to take an opportunity and applaud your program. I mean, you actually have a very informative, very well-hosted program, a lot of great people on board.
Thank you.
My comment is that, unfortunately, I don't trust either one of the candidates. And, you look at a reflection in the newspapers, and dependent upon what their demographic is, many times you get different portions of information. But if we were to look at, objectively, the 6,000 jobs, the lion's share of those require at least one or two of those for American families to survive. I'm thankful that I served in the military and retired from that, but I've got two brothers that are in their 40s and 50s who have lost their jobs and have attempted to get them, and because of whatever reason, we're unable to. But I have a son who's 21 years old, and he's able to pick up any kind of a small part-time job in order to meet his, small needs. It's sad that when you have two candidates, neither which you can trust, because one represents a particular class of people, and another president who is applauded based upon a number of jobs that are provided here in the state or around the country, I guess. And those jobs are totally incapable of supporting a family of any kind unless you have two or three of them. I guess that's my comment.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. The whole jobs. Last I heard, Mitt Romney was promising 1.2 million jobs. I have to agree with Jim a little bit. I'm not sure what that means. How soon? How much do they pay? Can I get one of them?
I think the caller makes a good point, though. This recession that we're in, or we're not in a recession, technically it's ended, but this economic downturn is the worst since the Great Depression, and the number of jobs hasn't matched what it was before the recession started, and it's still hard to get work. And I think before the election, not a lot of hiring is going to be done because the employers want to know which way the election's going to go.
Daryl, thoughts?
Yeah, it's an odd thing. I did a story two or three weeks ago on the Dispatch saying if you just look at numbers and historical trends, really neither of these candidates are going to get elected. Because of Romney's lack of approval, as again we're really seeing now, the lack of a convention bounce, but that high, unemployment over 8%, that just doesn't happen. That the incumbent gets reelected of either party, and the pollsters ask, is the country moving in the right direction, off in the wrong track? People think we're still off in the wrong track, but yet the incumbent looks like he's headed for re-election, at least at this snapshot in time that these polls are taking.
Mike in Westerville, you're on the air. You were just at the Romney rally in Westerville.
Yeah. Yes, I was. Could I just make two short comments, and then I can take, if there's any answer, I can take it off the air?
Okay.
Well, two things. One about Romney is, the idea of he's a job creator, but if I was Romney and he comes from big business, I would have some people at my rallies. I haven't heard anybody, any of his friends, saying, I'm a job creator, and if Romney's elected, I plan on hiring so many people or so many people. You know, he says he's going to create this job. So why doesn't he have supporters that are standing up and say, hey, I'm ready to start to boost my business and start hiring? And then the second comment is I was there, and I was there for about a half an hour, and I was just there out of curiosity. I wanted to see it. And I watched people go by me into the rally. I saw hundreds of people. I did not see one single non-white person, Hispanic or black, either one.
That you could see.
Of whatever you want out of that.
Hmm. Thanks a lot, Mike, for the call. The polls, obviously, it's in the 90 percentile as far as African-American voters go.
Right. And
For Obama.
Exactly, yes. And, you know, some people might say no duh to that, but it, you know, I guess it certainly can't be taken for granted. The Hispanic vote is a little more ephemeral, but again, I think Obama is reaping the majority there as well. Mm-hmm. And frankly, you do go to some of these rallies, they're not really representative. You know, Westerville South, I live actually fairly close to that school. I know there certainly is, a large black population in that school district and attends that school. So the folks going to that rally were not representative of the area, for better or the worse, if his observation is correct.
Are folks going to rallies generally representative of much of anything but hardcore supporters?
I think that's, for the most part, who they are. I think the 2008 election might have been an extreme version of that, because President, then-candidate Obama, did create such excitement, particularly among young voters. But if you go back to, I think, in 1980 and President Reagan and the whistle-stop tours he made, there was something romantic about that campaign, and he brought out a lot of people, too, just because of his magnetism as a candidate. Obama's has rubbed off, but I think he still has some of it that gets people out.
We only have about a minute left, but I was intrigued by the numbers for Bill Clinton. Polling on Bill Clinton still.
Well, I'm wondering if at the end of this election season, if for instance these numbers would hold through Election Day, mm-hmm. if that will be viewed as the turning point. The Bill Clinton speech, it could well be. It could be that speech, and then in contrast, a week or a week and a half later, the 47% remark. Because certainly that is, I think both those things are helping to turn the numbers right now. So, again, if those numbers hold, a huge if, we could be looking back and say, Bill Clinton got a third term, so to speak.
I can't disagree with Daryl on that point, but there is a long way to go. And let's not forget about Clint Eastwood, too. I don't think he helped Governor Romney too much.
How can we forget about Clint Eastwood? Bill Hershey, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Also, Daryl Rowland, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Ann. Always good to work with you again.
Thanks to everybody else for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.